Well, the Premier League title race remains on a knife edge, and it could even come down yet to goal difference. Both Arsenal and Manchester City face another stern test of their ability to deal with the ultimate pressure. It's just as tense at the bottom, with both West Ham and Tottenham on the road this weekend. Plus, it's the final round of the EFL regular season, with promotion and relegation on the line. We've got it all covered on this week's Assist. Welcome along to this week's bumper edition of the Assist. Masses to get through with you in terms of this weekend's action. And it's all brought to you in association with freesupertips.com, your best place for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm delighted to say I've been joined by Mark Langdon and Dan Charles this week to give us their tips and gauge their thoughts on the weekend's action. And as ever, of course, don't forget you can interact with us and give us your thoughts on the Racing Post YouTube channel, which Duncan Leslie did last week. We questioned our sympathy for Liam Rossini, who he claims shouldn't be anywhere near a dugout at the moment. While Paul Ruffy asked whether we could leave the bet captions on the screen for a couple of seconds longer. And Paul, you asked and we will listen. The tech team will be endeavouring to do that on this week's Assist as well. So to say, if you want to have your say, drop us a message on the YouTube channel. Loads to get through, so we'll kick off straight away by getting into the Premier League action this weekend. And the first game to look at is the 3:30 kickoff on Sunday at Old Trafford. Manchester United against Liverpool. United 13-10, Liverpool 7-4, and the draw is 14-5. Both of these teams, Mark, always want to beat each other, but of course a bit riding on it in terms of league positions at the moment. United go in just a position above Liverpool after that win over Brentford. And again, talk this week of whether Michael Carrick will get the job on a long-term basis. Can you see that happening?
I think it's really difficult to know whether Carrick is like good enough for the long term. But I think the risk in going for somebody else is probably greater than just sticking with him at the moment. Like, I do have some doubts. It feels like the United fixture list on the softer side, I would say, particularly in terms of the fact that so many of their rivals have been involved in, you know, hard campaigns. And, you know, by the end of the season, United would have played, 40 matches, having got knocked out of both domestic cups in the opening round and not qualifying for Europe. I think it's a completely different ball game when you're managing sort of, I don't know, 55, 60 matches a season. But then I look around at, like, who's out there to sort of replace Carrick. And, like, you know, Real Madrid are looking for a new manager and might go back to Mourinho, which tells you a lot. You know, they're not going to get like a Pep Guardiola. They're not going to get a Jurgen Klopp. They're not going to get Mikel Arteta. Like, what's the best that is out there? You know, even the World Cup managers, because the World Cup finishes late, you're talking about like, mid-July, maybe end of July before they're in place. So, like, I think that becomes unrealistic for someone like a Pochettino. And then even then you go, well, you know, is he kind of that good that you risk upsetting the fact that the fans are happy, the players seem happy? So I sort of feel it might be by default that Carrick gets the job. But I think it's also unfair to go just because it didn't work out with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer that it can't work out with Michael Carrick. These are completely different people. I would say different abilities of coaching. A different Man United team, probably slightly different expectations as well. So I sort of feel like they're heading towards the fact that it's just safer to stick with Carrick rather than look at somebody else. Unless, you know, if Luis Enrique says, "I've had enough at PSG, you know, I want to come to the Premier League," I think Man United should then go, "Yeah, see you later, Carrick." But, you know, and that feels unlikely. So I'd be kind of probably in the Carrick in camp at the moment.
Similar conversation, Dan, regarding Liverpool, because if you go back a couple of months, there were people saying maybe Arne Slot's not going to see this season out, and maybe they'll be looking for a new manager also in the summer. Things seem to have slightly moved towards Arne Slot staying on now by the looks of things, and looks to me anyway as though that will be the best decision for Liverpool.
Yeah, they've picked up a few results, haven't they, Liverpool? I'm not sure that they're playing that much better. And it may just be a case, again, of you wait till the summer and and see who's available. Keep your kind of powder dry. Sometimes it's not always a clear cut. You know, there's no point firing a guy and then bringing someone in that's not going to be your long-term project, if you like. So, no, I think it'll be... I don't think he's completely safe. I mean, this game against United, it's a game where if you did have a heavy defeat because of the rivalry that's on it, you know, opinions and moods can change quite quickly. So I still think he does need some decent performances between now and the end of the season.
Can I just jump in? I think I'd get rid of him. I'm not sure he's good enough. I know he won the league title last season. I think he piggybacked off what Jurgen Klopp had already built. If Xabi Alonso's available, I think that'd be an upgrade.
I was going to say that's part of the reason why this speculation is going on around, because Xabi Alonso is available. That's probably leading to the majority of it at the moment. We'll get to the game now in terms of best bets for this clash at Old Trafford. I mean, we've seen probably the best and the worst of Man United, Mark, in the last few weeks. I thought they were really disappointing against Leeds when they lost at home a couple of weeks ago. Seen a little bit better against Chelsea, and then it's a decent win, even though they didn't necessarily dominate against Brentford.
Yeah, I mean, it was a decent win against Chelsea. I mean, the performance wasn't amazing. Against Brentford, wasn't perfect. Igor Thiago missed a couple of opportunities. But like, it's kind of been the United way, really, under Carrick. Even there's been some good performances. Go back right to the start, I thought they were excellent against City, for example. And then they've had a couple of games where, you know, they've nicked it late on and or thrown the points away late on. So I still feels very much a work in progress. I'm sort of looking to take United on in this game, but then like the Liverpool price doesn't excite me much either. Mm. And I ended up at the draw, which, you know, big old price, around about 14 to 5 there. And I think a draw's a decent result as well for both teams. Obviously, Dan's already mentioned the rivalry, so you can come away, you know, not having lost a big game. And, like, United are basically there. And for Liverpool, you know, a point to just edges them ever closer to Champions League football next season. I know you've led on this game, Warren, and you know, because of the nature of the two teams, I'm not sure it's going to be a great game.
No, I can understand that point of view. I think, you know, the fact is that both managers would probably accept a draw if you handed it on a plate to them now, Mark. I mean, Dan, United did win at Anfield earlier in the season. It's been a while since they did a league double over Liverpool. Is there a chance it'll happen?
There's a chance. I think I've got very similar views on this game, to be honest. All three results are in play. I don't think a draw would be the worst result for the teams. You know, it'd keep the sort of local, you know, pride, you know, intact for both. And I do think at this stage of the season, even though there's quite a gap, things can change quite quickly if you do lose a couple of games and teams behind you suddenly win. And clubs will be aware of that. And just to edge that point nearer to the finishing line in terms of getting into the Champions League, I think they'll be kind of well aware of that. And I'm not so sure either side will be throwing caution to the wind in the last 20 minutes if the scores are level. I totally agree. I wouldn't expect a classic, although both have had a couple of wins. You know, you've got United's win against Chelsea and against Brentford were both against the XG in both of those matches. And Liverpool weren't entirely convincing, beating Palace 3-1. You know, gave up plenty of chances. So no, I don't expect a classic, and I think the draw's overpriced, got the same bet.
Okay, well, there are two teams, of course, above Manchester United and Liverpool in the table in Arsenal and Manchester City, battling it out for the title. And it's to the Emirates that we head next for Saturday's 5:30 kickoff as Arsenal take on Fulham. As far as the prices are concerned, Arsenal 4-9 here to claim the win. Fulham as big as 6-1, and the draw is 100-30. What did you make of Arsenal on Wednesday night, Dan, in terms of the Champions League semi-final?
I think they'll be quite happy, even though obviously Mikel Arteta wasn't very happy with the, you know, the changing of the penalty decision. But I think they'll be reasonably happy if you're offered, you know, a 1-1 draw, you know, and they had their chances. I think you offered them a 1-1 draw at the start and take them back to the Emirates, and it'll be pretty satisfied with that. Obviously, when you've led in the game, it gives you a bit of a different feeling. But and I think going into this game, there's a lot of talk about the goal difference angle all the time between Arsenal and City. I don't think it's really on the radar at the moment of the two managers. You saw how relieved Pep Guardiola was just to get the win away to Burnley. Similar with Arsenal, you know, grinding out that win against Newcastle, who you know went into the game in terrible run of form. And I think it'll be the same here. Unless Arsenal get a couple of goals in front, then they might look to, with a result safe, try and push on and build the goal difference. But if you think the game's going to be close, which I do, then I think they'll just be happy to see the job through. I think defensively their strength has been there all season, and I think that'll be the key here as well. Fulham don't score lots of goals. Had a, you know, a good win last weekend, but away from home, haven't scored in the last three road trips. And I just think it's another one where they've done it a lot this season, Arsenal, where they kind of ground it out and got the points. I can see a similar thing happening here. Going to go with Arsenal under 3.5 goals at odds against. That looks like quite a tasty price to me.
Mark, how do you look upon a game like this? I mean, I know Fulham are still hunting down a possible European place, but you look at it and say Arsenal up against a team that haven't got a huge amount to play for. Is that in their favour, or is the pressure off and that Fulham could just have a go?
No, I was speaking to a Fulham fan earlier on this week. They still think that they're in the hunt for Europe and would consider even like Conference League, a big deal. So I've you know, assuming he's kind of not a lone wolf, I do think that Fulham have got enough to play for to keep them interested. Just don't think that they're good enough, really, to deny Arsenal the victory. I think the most interesting aspect is, of course, the really quick turnaround. Arsenal played an emotional semi-final on Wednesday evening. They've got a return leg on the Tuesday, and then you've got to play this game on the Saturday. Like, I think even if you were a free-flowing team, and Arsenal are definitely not that, I think you'd struggle and just sort of take any old win. And I've got exactly the same bet here as Dan. I promise we have got some different ones later on, but I've got Arsenal and under 3.5 goals. I mean, I see it being very similar to the Newcastle game. And I think Mikel Arteta is quite an easy manager to read. I think he's looking at the Burnley game they've got as the one where they do whatever they need to do, goal difference-wise, and you know, just win the other games.
OK, well, if Arsenal do win, it looks like a must-win for Manchester City on Monday night. An 8 p.m. kickoff at the Hill Dickinson Stadium as City travel to Everton, who are 11-2, the home team, to win this game. It's 4-9 City, and the draw is 15-4. Firstly, Mark, what have you made of the fixture changes this week and the complaints from City in terms of the games racking up for them in a short space of time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, get the violins out. When you've got Mamouche and Phil Foden and John Stones and, you know, goodness knows what else, Ain't Nouri and Donnarumma was on the bench, wasn't he, last week? Like, yeah, successful teams have to play a lot of football, hold the front page, always been the same, always will be. They've got to get on with it. It's not ideal, obviously. It's not ideal. I think you'd want a clear week going into that FA Cup final, but like the fixture list is what it is, these days. And so, you know, when do they propose playing these games? Do you know what I mean? Like, you just have to play them. I in this title race, I know people have sort of went quite heavy on City when they beat Arsenal. I've got Arsenal as favourites. I think City have got not a nice running. I think the away games particularly are definitely where you can drop points. As you mentioned, Warren, they've got this really horrible fixture list, like midweek cup final, then playing again on the Tuesday. Potential to drop points there. They might have to think about goal difference at some stage. I think Arsenal, to my mind, have got one game where they might slip up, and that's away at West Ham. I think for City, there's at least two, and this is one of them. And I think Everton are just overpriced to win this game at 6-1. You know, they've been slightly unlucky in recent games. You know, they lost last minute, didn't they, against West Ham in injury time. Probably deserved something from that game. I felt they deserved something from the Merseyside derby. Lost that one 2-1 in injury time. Wasn't that long ago they went to the Emirates, held out for 89 minutes. 2-0 felt quite harsh in that game as well. Just think Man City, look, they're a quality team. Of course they are, but just feel too short to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I wonder whether, Mark's mentioned it there, Dan, with all the players that they have on the bench at the moment and all these fixtures piling up, whether this is a game where Pep might take a bit of a risk and throw two or three of those in.
I don't know. I think he'll go as strong as he can. I mean, he made a lot of changes, didn't he, for the FA Cup semi-final. He was even worried, wasn't he, about the Burnley game where he's just rolled out, you know, the same team, you know, just a few days after the Arsenal match. So I do think he'll go strong as he can. But I don't think the price is here. I don't get how City is so short here. I agree. There's been a big reaction since ever since they beat Arsenal in what was kind of billed as a title decider. I'm thinking back to a couple of weeks ago when City went to Chelsea and I fancied them at a shade of odds against to win that game. 4-9 now they are at Everton. I mean, Chelsea at that stage, we're in a mess with Rosinha in charge. And I'm looking now at Everton are always competitive in a similar position to Chelsea in the table. And the difference between those two prices, odds against to win at Chelsea, 4-9 to win at Everton, I just think I can't get my head around that. So even though, I mean, if you'd offered me the similar price to the price out at Chelsea, a bit of odds against, yeah, I'll take it. But look, we have to be in the job that we are. We have to have a price in mind of what we think is value. And for me, they're too short. So just going to go the opposite. I'm going to lay them. Everton or draw. Double chance at around 17-10. The game at West Ham, the tough game they lost late on narrowly. Lost the Merseyside derby, you know, late on again. But they're always competitive. Very rarely lose games by a lot of goals. So, Everton not to lose for me.
Okay, that could be a very, very interesting clash in terms of the title race, and we'll look forward to that on Monday evening. We're going to head now to Stamford Bridge for a Monday 3 o'clock kickoff. You might be wondering why on earth is it going to be 3 o'clock on Monday? Well, I just found out this week it's a bank holiday on Monday, so that's why there is an afternoon game. Chelsea against Forest. Chelsea 8-11 to win this game. Nottingham Forest 15-4 and the draw 3-1. Dan, that was a huge win for Forest at Sunderland last week. Not just the scoreline, but the way that they played as well. And they head to a Chelsea team who were better against Leeds, but they couldn't probably have been much worse.
Yeah, they were quite a bit better, weren't they? You know, helped by, you know, having João Pedro back in the starting lineup as well, and Cole Palmer fit enough to come off the bench, so they were in a better position personnel wise. I don't know. I think there's been a bit of an overreaction to the sometimes one match form. I know that you know everyone will say now that Liam Rosinha was the entire problem at Chelsea and they've gone and won a game, so you know everything's fine now. I'm not so sure I subscribe to that. I think that Forest as well, it's still a big game for them. We have to mention that you know the huge distraction of the we're talking before the first leg at home to Aston Villa of the Europa League semi-final. They then got the second leg next week, so this game comes in the middle of that. I think quite a lot could depend, you know, on what happens with the results of sort of Spurs and West Ham over the weekend. If they get good results, then Forest are going to be going to this Chelsea game. They won't be able to rest too many players then. They're going to be looking at it and thinking, we need something out of this game. I would just back them to get something. I think Chelsea are odds on. I mentioned before, I'm still not completely sold on them to suddenly be backing them at odds on. I suspect Forest may get something, going to go with a draw.
Watched that Forest game at Sunderland last week, Mark, and thought, you know, you could make a case from the Forest hierarchy that they wouldn't be in the position maybe they were in at the moment with Chris Wood being in that squad, because he does make a big difference. But, of course, also the likes of Morgan Gibbs-White have hit form at the right time for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd say it's Gibbs-White more than... I mean, Chris Wood, obviously, focal point to the attack, but, like, Gibbs-White has really stepped it up in recent weeks. An understandable slow start to the season, you know, distracting summer with, you know, the move to Tottenham that didn't happen. And I think there was also some personal problems that were alluded to with his partner having a complicated pregnancy. So, you know, understandable that it took him a while to get going. He's been brilliant in recent weeks. I would say, you know, putting significant pressure, actually, we're talking about from this game, maybe on Cole Palmer for an England spot. If you think that Morgan Rogers and Jude Bellingham, you know, definitely go as sort of those attacking midfielders, like it might not be Gibbs-White and Palmer, but it could be either or. And, you know, Gibbs-White definitely playing better at the moment than what Palmer is. In terms of this game, though, I'm going to sort of disagree with Dan here. I'm going to go for a Chelsea win. I think if you have a look at the odds would suggest that at least one of West Ham or Tottenham will kind of lose this weekend, certainly drop points. And, you know, the likelihood is that they'll both drop points if you look at sort of the prices, and we'll discuss those games in a moment. That, I think, a real big advantage playing on the Monday, that they'll have kind of a vision of what they need to do. If the results go the way I expect them to at the weekend, I think Forest will be in a position to rest players and focus on the Europa League, and therefore I'm going for a Chelsea win.
Okay, Mark's just touched upon it there. Tottenham have a big game on Sunday, 7 p.m. kickoff at Villa Park against Aston Villa. As far as the prices are concerned, Villa 23-20 here to win this one. Tottenham 11-5 and the draw 13-5. Mark, I don't think we've had you on the assist since the appointment of Roberto De Zerbi. How have you taken to that appointment, and what have you thought since he's been in the dugout?
Yeah, I wish he'd been there longer. You know, I don't think Tottenham would be in this position if they'd had a proper manager in charge. He's like a significant upgrade on the other two clowns that were there previously. So, you know, it just might be a case of if it's too late. You know, the Brighton performance 2 weeks ago was as good as Tottenham have played, you know, for basically all season, really. Like, they got a bit of stick for winning at Wolves last week because the performance wasn't quite kind of up to standard. But there's no other team in a relegation battle that gets picked upon for winning matches. You know, you've just got to win them. Like, nobody kind of picks apart, you know, if you know, West Ham won at Everton, it doesn't matter if they play well. You know, you've just got to win. And yet, I sort of saw, you know, Jamie Carragher talking about sort of Tottenham's chance creation on Monday. Like, what does it matter? Like, you know, like, you're not going to get silky football at this stage of the season, and you're definitely not going to get it now that Solanke and Simmons have kind of joined an already long injury list. A lot of pressure on Tottenham to win this game. I'd say they've got more chance now than they ever have. I think De Zerbi is a good manager. If they do go down and he stays, watch out, Championship. That record, was it 106 points, Reading? Yeah, I think we'll be going for 110 at least.
It's funny because, like you say there, you know, ordinarily pundits would say, well, they ground out a really deserved 1-0 win, yeah, and, you know, and that is crucial where you are at the bottom end of the table. So I don't think you can look too much into, like you say, the amount of chances that are creating from there. But as Mark's already said, Dan, losing key players. I mean, Xavi Simmons is going to be out for the World Cup now as well. A really big setback at this stage of the season.
Absolutely. And I just think, alluding to those injuries and how it affected the performance as well, because Spurs for the first 30 minutes before the first of those injuries, the Solanke injury, they'd actually started the game pretty well and were controlling it and looking. And it's not easy, by the way, against the side. Wolves were sitting back, and see where they went one down. They're really just playing at home and getting 11 men behind the ball. That, for any side, that isn't easy to break down. And when you lose two key players in the midst of that, it's not easy to then get yourself together. And I totally agree. I think a bit of credit is due to coming through that and finding a way, getting the win. And I can see, look, it's not an easy game going to Villa. A few weeks ago, you looked at this fixture and thought, you know, this is of the running, this is one where I don't expect Spurs to get anything. I think now, with the fixture being in between the Nottingham Forest Europa League tie, you couldn't ask for a better time to go there. I think it would have been a bit easier still for Spurs if Villa would have won at Fulham last weekend. That sort of keeps them thinking they'd still need a couple of results to nail down that top five spot. So I get that. But I think we talked about the players that are missing. I think Bentancur is coming back. Has played as well as the manager coming in, who's a massive upgrade. But I think Bentancur back in that midfield, they look a lot smoother with him in the side. I think he's made a huge difference. And I can see them getting something out of this game. I understand the prices have moved a lot, and Villa are odds against. Some people would say snatch your hand off for that. But no, I think it's going to be a close game to call. I'm going to go with a draw.
Yeah, I didn't give my bet, did I? I have gone for Villa to win the game just because I think the price has probably just drifted enough to back them. But it's definitely not a give. It's not like the nap of the weekend or anything like that, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. We will look at Tottenham's main relegation rivals, West Ham, in a second. But a heads up to look out for the free bet offers that are currently available on racingpost.com. And also make sure you check out the Racing Post Recommend section, our bookmaker advice service that also provides betting strategies to follow. West Ham also on the road then. They play on Saturday at 3 p.m. as they take on Brentford. The Bees can be backed at 19-20 to win this game. West Ham 13-5, and the draw is 11-4. Does it give them any bonus here down in terms of West Ham playing before Spurs, or does it work in Spurs' favour to know exactly what West Ham have done the day before?
You could argue both ways, couldn't you? If you play first and win, then it puts pressure on your opponent. But then if you play second, you can argue that you know a little bit more about what you've got to do. So you could argue both ways, to be honest. So what I do think is that West Ham are overpriced here. I think Brentford have had a lot of big run of draws. They didn't play that badly against Manchester United, but missed the chances and lost the game. But they haven't won a home Premier League game now since January against, I think it was against Wolves. So that is that's a long time without winning a Premier League home game. West Ham are not losing that many games at the moment. Three losses in the last 13 Premier League. They were at Chelsea, Liverpool and Villa. So I don't think this is anywhere near as tough as any of those three games. And they're on a nice little run, aren't they? 7 points from the last three games. Massive boost to getting that late winner against Everton. And yeah, I think it's a game that could go either way. So at the prices, to me, it's a no-brainer to lay the home team. Going to go West Ham or draw a double chance.
The irony won't be lost, Mark, if West Ham stay up and Callum Wilson plays a big part in them surviving, because he clearly was on the way out in January. Something's happened there behind the scenes that meant that he hasn't gone, and he scored a couple of really key goals.
Well, the one at Tottenham now looks huge, doesn't it? With like virtually the last kick of the game back in January. Do you remember the reverse fixture when Brentford absolutely battered West Ham and Wilson sat on the bench for 90 minutes and they brought on, I can't remember the young guy's name that came on for West Ham. And he was like well off the required level, understandably. The redemption arc for Callum Wilson, huge, could be one of the stories of the season, in kind of that relegation battle. I've gone for a draw in this game. Like, it's not, it's a decent result for West Ham if they get it. Put some 3 points ahead of Tottenham means that Spurs at some stage are, going to have to, make significant sort of progress in terms of overhauling them. And it's sort of psychologically, I think 3-2 feels like a big difference. They've had 4 draws in 7 in all competitions, and Brentford have kind of been the draw specialist recently, 6-7. I think they probably, might have got one at United on another day as well on Monday. So, the draw stood out to me.
We're flip-flopping across the days of this week to cover all of these Premier League fixtures. And we're heading to Friday evening now, an 8 o'clock kickoff at Elland Road for Leeds against Burnley. Leeds 19-50 to win this game. Burnley, whose relegation has now been confirmed, of course, 7-1. And the draw is 7-2. I was a little bit frustrated that Leeds probably didn't give Chelsea more of a game. I know it was only 1-0, Mark, in the semi-final last week. I just thought the way that Leeds have been playing recently, thought they had a really, really good opportunity. But I suppose at the end of the day, if you're a Leeds fan and they get the 3 points against Burnley, that will pretty much secure safety.
Yeah, I thought it was a sort of disappointing enough performance from Leeds. Never really got going, but if they beat Burnley, that should keep them up, and it's been a good season, and I think they'll do just that. So I'm going Leeds -1 on the Asian handicap at 4-6. So they win by one, you get your money back. If they win by two or more, it's a winner. Burnley picked up 1 point in 7 games, recent away matches, 2-0 defeat Everton, 3-1 at Fulham, 4-1 at Forest. Just as we've been on air, Scott Parker's left Turf Moor as well. So he's been, he's departed the club following that relegation. It's just the perfect game. We know that Leeds they've got a great record. When they play night games at Elland Road, it'll be jumping, win the game, stay up.
Just a quick word on Scott Parker, Dan. What do you think of that? There's an argument to be said that he's got them promotion. Would he be able to stay on and do the same again? Do you think that they've disappointed maybe in terms of the way that they've put up a fight this season? I mean, I think most people expect them to go down.
Yeah, I do think they'll probably be disappointed that they weren't a bit closer, you know, to be relegated with four games to go. Not looked organised, have they? Like last season, that was the bedrock for them. They were the, you know, best defensive record in the Championship. Went up with 100 points, got the same points as Leeds, and now Leeds have got double the points tally. So I think owners are going to look at how Leeds have done and how Sunderland have done coming up. You know, having a more difficult summer because they had to wait for the, you know, to win in the playoffs and then less time to recruit. And Leeds and Sunderland have recruited a lot better. Now, you could say that, you know, maybe Parker's fingerprints weren't all over that, but they might feel that he should have got, you know, more out of the players assembled. I think for this game, I think it's a big game for Leeds. I think they'll win it. I mean, one thing you've got to mention, everyone's saying that they're over the line. If they were to have a shock defeat here, and results not go the way over the weekend, they could be going into the Spurs. Spurs away is the next game after that. They could be going into that game with the potential of actually dropping into the bottom three. That's how quickly things could change. You know, and they've still got to go to West Ham as well, final day of the season. So Brighton at home in the middle of it. Brighton, one of the four teams in the league. So they're going to look at this. This is the banker. They really need to win it, get over the line. I'm sure they will. Burnley have just been, you know, so uncompetitive, shipping goals. One thing Burnley do though, is that away from home especially, they score quite a few. You've got 19 goals. I mean, only one goal less than Aston Villa have scored away from home. So they may contribute to the overall scoring. I'm gonna go, just to boost the price up, Leeds and over 2.5 goals at a shade of odds against.
Well, Dan mentioned there how quickly things can change in the Premier League. And certainly that's highlighted by Brighton's run of form, because they find themselves, the Seagulls, now in sixth spot in the Premier League, heading to St James's Park on Saturday afternoon, a 3 o'clock kickoff for Newcastle against Brighton. Newcastle 6-4 here to claim the victory. Brighton 8-5 and the draw 11-4. And I suppose we have to really give some credit, Dan, here to Fabian Hertzler, who, again, another manager who was being talked about mid-season as in, is this the way to go for Brighton? But they've certainly gone on the right run of late.
Yeah, and not just the, you know, winning games, the way they're winning them as well. I mean, obviously, there was quite rightly a lot of criticism of Chelsea after that. You know, that was Brighton's last game, the 3-0 win. But Brighton was superb from start to finish, and you kind of won the game and didn't get the credit that they deserve. They've been on a good run for quite a while now. Every chance, don't forget, it's far from outlandish to suggest they could be in the Champions League next year. You only need an English team to win a European trophy. Every chance of that happening, and the sixth spot could get in there, and Brighton are there at the moment and in the best form of the teams chasing that position. So I think Newcastle, traditionally, you say going there, home advantage is increased, and it's a tough place to go. But at the moment, the way the mood is there and the run that they've been on, I think it could kind of work the other way. I think if Brighton start well, I think the mood in the stadium could quickly deteriorate, certainly if Brighton score the first goal. So it's a game I don't see Brighton losing. I'm going to just play it a little bit safer than that and go Brighton draw no bet at a shade of odds on.
Theme of this week's show, Mark, seems to be managers under pressure, none more so than Eddie Howe at the moment. If they were to lose this game, are you steering towards him going at the end of the season?
I'd say it wouldn't matter really what happens in this game. It feels like the end is sort of nigh, really. I expect Newcastle to have a new manager next season. You know, five defeats in a row, just drifting, aren't they? What I would say is just how many, like, matches Newcastle have played. If you compare that to Manchester United, like, I think this is Newcastle's 55th game, so, you know, effectively going to get to, what, 60 games this season. Man United will have played 40. Like, 20 more matches in a season. That is really hard to manage. And I think that maybe we kind of underestimate the toll that the Champions League potentially takes on teams, particularly if you're kind of not at that real top level. And, you know, I like, someone like Arsenal can kind of, and City can coast through some of those games, whereas Newcastle are at it every single match, and like they just look like they're sort of running on fumes now. In this game, I've gone over 2.5 goals, 4-6. 21 of Newcastle's 29 home games this season have been over 2.5. 28 of the 29 have had at least 2 goals. So, you've had you've had a lot of fun in terms of goals, maybe not results, at St James's this season.
Just wonder whether Eddie Howe might pop up back at Bournemouth next season, bearing in mind,
Oh,
well, you won't believe
he'll
because
think
they're
bigger than he'll, with all due
there.
respect, he's got to think bigger. He'll maybe wait till a kind of similar sized team needs a new manager.
It does look like Bournemouth are going to get Rosa coming in as well, of course, for next season. And Bournemouth are next on the list for us, who are 3-5 to beat Crystal Palace in their clash on Sunday afternoon. Palace 4-1, and the draw is 16-5. Two teams whose managers will be leaving for definite in the summer. Mark, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, look, I'll keep this one fairly brief. I expect Palace to rest players in between the Shakhtar semi-final of the Conference League. Nothing really to play for. Bournemouth, Tavernier, he's 9-1 to score the first goal. Scored at Newcastle a couple of weeks ago. Averages the most shots in the Bournemouth squad of players who are still there. So, not. I think Bournemouth will win comfortably, and I think Dan fancies them. So I'll hand over him to explain more.
You up for the cherries here, eh, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, Matt Lowe's to play for them. We talked about the attractiveness of or not of the Bournemouth job. I mean, they're in the race at the moment to get six, and as I said just a moment ago, that could be Champions League Bournemouth next season. I mean, what an amazing thing that would be. But they've been on great form for a while. Probably a bit of a missed opportunity. The 2-2 draw at home to Leeds, where they created the better chances, will be frustrated to concede late on and not win that game. But they've been on an excellent run. Great time to play Palace, as Mark's mentioned, in the middle of their Conference League tie. They're going to be increasingly focused on that. I think it's a comfortable win for Bournemouth for me.
Quick plea from me to Thomas Tuchel, having seen Crystal Palace at Liverpool last week, Adam Wharton needs to be in that World Cup squad. Anyway, enough of that. Let's get to the final Premier League game for us to focus on then. 3 o'clock on Saturday, Wolves against Sunderland. And as far as the prices are concerned here, Wolves 11-5, Sunderland are 5-4, and the draw 12-5. Going to be interesting, Dan, to see how Sunderland bounce back after being shell-shocked by Forest.
Yeah, and I'm just going to mention, I did agree with Mark about the criticism about putting the first game up as a Liverpool Man United, but I think you're spot on here to have this as the last game, Wolves against Sunderland. I can see this being last on Match of the Day. I'm going to go with under 2.5 goals. Sunderland are going to be, had a great season, going to be looking to tighten up, I should imagine, after that 5-0 lost to Nottingham Forest. I mean, Wolves have just, the last three games have gone backwards again. Three defeats, without scoring a goal, just sat back against Spurs and then had a go once they went behind. But no, I don't see this being an amazing game. Two teams that kind of prefer sitting deep and countering, really. So, no, going to go under the goals.
Similar thought for you, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, won't be watching it, won't be having a bet on it. If you do want to have one, I'd sort of edge towards Wolves draw, no bet, in this game, about 5-4. Sunderland have conceded 20 shots on target in their last three matches, and it was obviously a bad sign. And like, it was a deflection to beat Spurs. I'm not sure they would have won that game without that, either, really. So probably just feeling the pinch a bit themselves. It's been a great season, but at some stage they're always going to kind of slip back, I think.
Okay, that is the Premier League covered then for another week. Up next, it's your FPL update, and then we'll look at the final weekend of the regular EFL season. It's Fantasy Premier League time now, and Tom Hill joins us again to give us his tips on who to select in your team in week 35.
We are back to normal in game week 35 with all 20 teams in action as we prepare for the final few fixtures of the campaign. Let's take a look at the best three outfield players for your teams. Leeds United's home tie with Burnley looks a prime fixture to target, and James Justin looks like he could give managers a route to points this week. At £3.9 million, he offers a cheap route into the Leeds defence and will be expected to play at left wing-back due to Gabriel Goodmanson's injury. Justin scored 16 points 2 weeks ago in his last home game, and he has scored six or more points in three of his last five appearances. In midfield, Manchester United captain Bruno Fernandes continues to collect points, and he is not blank since game week 27. Fernandes, who cost £10.4 million, is chasing the Premier League assist record and will fancy his chances against a Liverpool side who remain vulnerable. The Reds have only kept two clean sheets in 10, and in the previous fixture at Anfield, Fernandes picked up 8 points. With a personal goal to chase, he looks a no-brainer in a home tie. Erling Haaland remains the best forward to target this week, and he will now cost £14.5 million. The Manchester City ace has scored in back-to-back league games, and with the league title and golden boot in his sights, he will be a man on a mission. Everton are ranked in the bottom five in the league for expected goals conceded, and Haaland should punish them if given the chance.
Okay, thanks to Tom for his FPL update. Straight on to the EFL now, and the battle for the Championship's second automatic promotion spot will go down to the wire. Three teams still in the running to finish behind Coventry. Ipswich on 81 points, Millwall on 80, Middlesbrough on 79. All games, of course, on Saturday in the Championship kickoff at the same time, which is 12:30. Ipswich play host to QPR, Millwall are at home to Oxford, and Wrexham against Middlesbrough. And I suppose all I can ask you, Dan, is who's going to take that second spot?
Ipswich for me. I mean, look, I understand if you're an Ipswich fan and you're going into the final game and it's not done. You know, they wanted to get it done at Southampton in the week, couldn't quite manage it. And you say it's never done until it's done. But look, you couldn't ask for a much better final game. The QPR, no winning five, three defeats in a row, just marooned in mid-table. You know, I understand. I mean, you know, many years back, a QPR team with not a lot to play for went to Man City and almost changed the destination of the title race in the Premier League. But no, I think Ipswich will get over the line here. Millwall and Middlesbrough are going to be left, to preparing for the playoffs.
Well, despite me being criticised for Man United, Liverpool being at the top of the order, I'm going to give some credit to Mr. Mark Langdon, who sat there as well, because you said Coventry at the start of the season, Mark, would go on and win the title. It's exactly what they've done. Just quickly, in terms of what Dan said there, you fancy an Ipswich as well to seal it?
Yeah, I mean, as long as they deal with the pressure, and like that is always, you know, a slight unknown, isn't it? You know, if you concede first, it can get edgy, but like, you can't ask for much more, really, than QPR at home. They were unlucky not to get the job done at Southampton in midweek. I would expect Ipswich to take second spot. And I'd say over the course of the season, probably just about deserved that as well.
OK, well, let's go on to Dan's best bet in the Championship this weekend. Who are we looking at here, Dan?
I'm going to go with Norwich to draw double chance away to Hull. Now, Hull are, you know, in right in the thick of this race for sixth place in the playoffs, on the same points as Wrexham, only one worse off in terms of goal difference. Wrexham are at home to Middlesbrough, so it's lots of twists and turns could happen there. But I'm not sure Hull will get their own business done. I mean, this is one. I mean, Norwich, like QPR, we were mentioning, haven't got anything to play for, but that's been the case for quite a while now. I know they've been had an outside chance of squeezing into the top six, but in reality, they've been kind of heading for finishing sort of mid-table or upper mid-table. Yet they are competing and playing at a consistent level. They've took 44 points from 21 games since the turn of the year. I mean, that is what a turnaround under Philippe Clement. They were second from bottom going into the start of the year. And I just don't see there suddenly being a big drop-off and a deterioration in performance. Now, there has been a deterioration from Hull. No winning, I think, seven games now when it's a critical stage of the season. Now, that's a disaster for them. They've been in there, you know, nearly the entire season. Now they've dropped out and, you know, facing such a difficult game. I think Norwich, odds against not to lose the game, given the form they've been on, looks a good bet to me.
Off the back of that, I covered Charlton Hull last week, Dan, and they looked leggy, Hull. They did look like a team running out of energy at the wrong time, really. So it's Norwich double chance for Dan in the Championship. Who are we looking at in League One?
Yeah, I'm going to flip it now in League One. I'm going to go with a team, the Leighton Orient, at home to Burton. Leighton Orient to win. They need to win. Burton don't need to win. Burton got safe last weekend, got a 1-1 draw at home to Exeter. And judging by the Burton celebrations, I wouldn't be surprised if they think that they're not going to produce a lot more for the rest of the season. Quite rightly, they were over the moon for a club of their size to seal safety. And that's good news for Orient, really, because they need to win this game. Now, they've been on a poor run, Orient. Lost 1-0 again away to Blackpool last weekend. But they have got Don Ballard, who's the top scorer in the division. Aaron Connolly, who was doing great things with Ballard early in the season, has recently come back to fitness. He played his first full 90 minutes of the year in that defeat at Blackpool. Now, getting that minutes under his leg should really help Orient in a game that they must win to make sure that they stay above Exeter in the race to avoid that fourth bottom spot. I think a shade of odds on, that's a reasonable price for them to back them. So Orient to beat Burton.
Okay, last but not least, League Two, where there's lots to play for at both top and bottom end of the table. Who are we looking at here, Dan?
Lots to play for, and so I've gone for a fixture of two teams with absolutely nothing to play for. I've gone with Accrington or draw, double chance away to Oldham. Oldham were pushing for the playoffs, but then suddenly picked up loads and loads of injuries. They've lost, they now can't get into the playoffs. Oldham lost four games in a row. You look at two of them fixtures, was they lost 3-2 away to Barrow, who have been otherwise awful for the last couple of months. 3-2, they lost away to Newport last weekend, that dramatic finish to that game, deep into injury time, and picked up. And they're going to have an even smaller squad this week by the looks, because Mike Fondop, key striker for them, he was sent off in that game. Accrington haven't been great lately, but you look at their last two performances, they played two teams with quite a bit to play for. They got a 2-2 draw away to Swindon, then a 3-3 draw at home to Crawley, who are fighting for their lives. So that tells you that Accrington have not sort of like, they're not on the beach quite at this moment, maybe as much as Oldham are. So Oldham are odds on here. I just don't see that, given the injuries and their recent form. Accrington or draw, double chance.
Okay, just a reminder then of Dan's best EFL bets for this week. Norwich double chance, Leighton Orient and Accrington double chance across the three divisions. And it's Mark's turn now. We're going to look to the Premier League bet builder. And Mark, I think you're looking at the game that's at the Vitality Stadium.
Yeah, not the biggest game of the weekend in terms of teams playing, but a really important one for Bournemouth against Crystal Palace. And I'm going for Bournemouth to win. Their need is vastly superior. I'm sure that Palace will rest players thinking about their European semi-final second leg. So got the Cherries to win. And then Ivar Nilsson to have at least two shots. He's had 12 in his last five matches. And I really am expecting Bournemouth to kind of dominate this game, really. And one player that has been a standout youngster, sort of real breakthrough act, Krupe, him also to have two plus shots in the game, that's copped him four of his last five appearances, and actually one of those he only played 17 minutes. So you know, particularly when you've got this the sub offer as well, play it with one of those bookmakers where if he goes off, he gets you know, the replacement still running for you. They've got Bournemouth got a lot of attacking talent on the bench. It pays about 3-1.
Okay, time now for the assist treble, and we are on a roll. Back-to-back victories, and Dan pointed out earlier this week, we're on for a treble-treble in the assist treble. And last week, it's courtesy of Lincoln, Liverpool and Bristol Rovers, came in at 7-2. And I think we've got a League Two treble for you to follow this week. Mark, who's your selection?
First of all, I've seen Charlie on the treble-trebles when he used to... He used to have the old Red Bulls and vodka back in the day before he settled down. Absolutely lethal.
Quad trebles, that was right.
Yeah. Lethal on the dance floor. My treble selection is MK Dons to win at Fleetwood. A win gives MK the title. They took a while to warm up as, you know, as title favourites, and there'll be a lot of people that would have backed MK Dons, sort of really invested in this game at Fleetwood this weekend. Like, all the talk in the camp this week from Milton Keynes has been about winning the title. They wrapped up promotion easily enough. They've had three, you know, strong wins, you know, to finish the campaign. Not a gimme by any means at Fleetwood, but given what's riding on it for them and, you know, nothing on the game for Fleetwood, I was actually expecting sort of shorter than 10 to 11. I think the title will matter to Paul Warne and the squad.
Okay, so it's MK Dons for Mark. And as I say, we're sticking in League Two, Dan. And another team that you're going for who are in decent form at the moment.
Yep, same division. Cambridge need to win to make sure of keeping that third spot. Salford challenging them for, I think Notts County have got an outside chance of getting it as well. But if Cambridge win away to Crewe, you know, the job's done. I think they'll get the win. I think Cambridge, since about back end of November, I think they've been the most consistent team performance-wise in League Two. They've been really, really strong. And a good fixture for them. Crewe can't make the playoffs, lost the last three games, started to sort of blood a few youngsters now, went down to a pretty, weakish sort of 2-0 loss away to Chesterfield last weekend. I don't see them posing many problems for Cambridge.
Okay, and I'm going to wrap up the treble with another League Two tip, and that is Grimsby, who are looking to secure their place in the playoffs with a win at Tranmere. You can get around about 21-20 on the Mariners, who have won five of the last six games. And victory on Saturday could see them finish higher up in the playoff standings in terms of sealing a home leg in the second leg of those playoffs as well. They face a Tranmere team who are still at risk of falling out of the Football League. They've lost the last six games at Prenton Park as well going into this home clash. Grimsby have won their last two on the road at Cambridge and Gillingham as well. Decent results, and were 1-0 winners in this fixture last season. And I think the Mariners can pick up another 3 points at the weekend. So MK Dons, Cambridge and Grimsby are the assist treble on the final weekend of the EFL regular season. And we'll conclude this week's show with the NAP selections from Mark and Dan. And Dan, we'll start with your NAP first.
Yeah, going to go with Accrington or draw double chance away to Oldham. Oldham, as I mentioned before, have got lots of injuries, not been filling their bench the last few games. Another big, setback losing that game late on away to Newport last weekend. Accrington, not on a great run themselves, but picked up a couple of decent draws recently. I don't think they'll lose at Oldham.
And Mark, your naps in the Premier League?
Yeah, sort of slightly more glamorous than Aki against Oldham. Arsenal to win an under 3.5 goals against Fulham. So Fulham failed to score in four of their last five away games in the Premier League. Arsenal, they haven't scored more than one goal in a game since the 17th of March. And they haven't been involved in a game that's had more than 3.5 goals. And I was at that match. It was the 22nd of February in North London Derby, but it was against Igor Tudor's Tottenham. So I'm not even sure that counts. You know, they're in grind mode at the moment. The Gunners expect them to win, but, not in pretty fashion.
OK, well, a big thanks to both Mark and Dan for their input this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. The Assist will be back at the same time next Thursday. We'll include a look ahead to Liverpool against Chelsea and West Ham versus Arsenal. But before then, the Euro Assist will also return on Monday to preview the second legs of the Champions League semi-finals. We had success across the board with Jack Ogilvie and I's tips for both of the first legs, hopefully more of the same on Monday's Euro Assist. In the meantime, enjoy your football action this weekend. And as always, please remember to gamble responsibly.